Hello and welcome to the Healthy Pregnancy Revolution. I'm your host, Stephanie Wilson, here today with Dr. Evan Pridmore. Dr. Evan has received his bachelor's degree from the University of Cincinnati in exercise science and biomechanics. He then continued his education, receiving his doctorate of chiropractic from Palmer College of Chiropractic in Port Orange, Florida. Dr. Evan continues his education today by participating in the Diplomats for Pediatric and Pregnancy Care from the International Chiropractic Pediatric Association, as well as functional neurology. In the fall of 2020, he also attended Parker University and completed their animal chiropractic program. This background of education has allowed Dr. Evan to care for many couples who have struggled to conceive and through natural health protocols have helped couples conceive naturally. Hi, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me today. I'm super excited to be here.
I absolutely have to interject in here. I have an extra special addition to what my experience is with you. Dr. Evan is my own personal family chiropractic, and he was there through my labor with my beautiful baby girl. And it was the most phenomenal experience that I can't even put into words, but I'm so excited to chat with you today.
That's one of the coolest things that I get to do, in my opinion, is get to attend labors and deliveries, as long as, you know, it's appropriate to do so. And I'm invited into that space, but it's just, you know, it's a super cool thing to be a part of. As you know, I'm a dad of four. So our first one was, you know, more traditional hospital, and our last three have been at home. So I kind of have a cool perspective on both worlds, and it's a really beautiful process to be a part of. You never realize how like cool and awesome your wife is until you see her go through that process. You're like, wow, yeah, like I knew, like you're pretty cool.
It is. It's amazing what women's bodies can do. I know. And
you're way stronger.
Women themselves, it makes them so to realize the power that they hold going through that. It's
a really cool experience. Absolutely. Yeah.
So could you explain to us, what is it when you do attend these births, what is it that you're doing what is a woman's body literally? Because I know I didn't understand this actually prior to, what is happening during labor and how can chiropractic care play into that process while she's moving through a natural birth?
Great question. So chiropractic care in a nutshell, at its base form is for the purpose of improving the health and performance of the nervous system. And the nervous system, as you know, Grey's Anatomy text, not the TV show states, would state that the central nervous system is designed to control and coordinate every function of the body, right? So you can work on stimulating very specific pathways. You can give the brain new and different type of information to get a different response out of it. So for example, during like labor and delivery, when the pelvis biomechanically is being more challenged and there's more strain and stress on women in the abdomen and the core and the pelvis, those nerves directly innervate and supply life to the reproductive organs in the area that baby's growing. And smooth muscle contractions, which is what your uterus is made up of and what it does through that process, is all involuntary. It's not something you consciously control. So your body has to get very specific messages to coordinate very specific functions. So the nerves that come out of the pelvis specifically are, if you stimulate them, drive something called parasympathetic information. So most people are familiar with like a fight or flight response, like I'm stressed out, man. And we want to do the opposite of that during labor and delivery. We want to create more of a resting, healing, digesting, or parasympathetic input into the system so mom can stay in a rested, relaxed state, so that way you can get and formulate really nice smooth muscle contraction, which helps moms be more comfortable through labor and delivery, facilitates a more effective birth outcome. And statistically, if you look at some of the chiropractic research that's published via Webster's technique, if women are under chiropractic care for the duration of their pregnancy, they have up to somewhere between, there's a few different studies out there, but somewhere between 28 to 38% reduced labor pains and delivery times, which I heard somebody translate it to, that's about 4 or 5 episodes of Game of Thrones. And then also statistically, if the pelvis biomechanically is sound because the uterus is suspended by ligaments that connect into the pelvis, if the pelvis is out of proper position, or there's, you know, if it's crooked or twisted, or somebody has like a scoliotic curve, even if, you know, there's a leg length discrepancy, that can distort the orientation of the uterus, and that can affect the fetal position and station. So women under chiropractic care for the duration of the pregnancy, on average, babies head down in an optimal position in the high 80%, so close to 89% of the time. So, but when I actually go attend a labor, I had a really cool experience recently. That mom was having her fourth baby, home birth, and I got to care for her through her first three pregnancies, which is awesome. But she gave me a call and she's like, hey, you know, I'm about halfway through this thing in active labor. And she's like, and it's something doesn't feel right. Like I'm having burning shooting pain down my leg. The midwife said, baby's in weird position. She's like, can you come? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like that's so cool. It's my jam. This is exactly what I want to do. Sure. So I got there, checked her once, got her adjusted. And I said, hey, you know, let's just give your body, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes. And if you feel up for it, let's check you again, checked her again. And man, her left SI joint was just jammed up, like wasn't moving at all. And the sacrum has to be able to move out of the way for a baby to get further and further engaged into the pelvic inlet and outlet. So after checking her twice within about a 30 to 40 minute time frame, I was like, hey, you know, things look pretty good. It's kind of up to you, baby, and God at this point in time. So I'm going to step out of the way. And she gave me a call about 2 hours later. She's like, hey, thank you. That was so great. After you left, you know, I could feel a big difference. Baby went head down and baby came in about 2 hours after that adjustment. So I was like, that's pretty cool.
Wow. That's an amazing story. And you could have prevented, you know, that might've ended up in a hospital birth. Hospital, and you never know.
Yeah. Transfer and that stress physiology and, you know, and that baby's entrance into the world with that amount of stress applied to the system, would it affect their neurodevelopment too?
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So let's back it up then. Before a woman even conceives, how is it that chiropractic care can be supporting her and preparing her body in that time?
Great question. And probably one of my favorite ones I wish more people asked. And so for the people participating in this program, like you're already way like a big step ahead. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're preparing your body for this time, because there are genetic factors and there are epigenetic factors playing a role in our health. Most of the time we were taught back in the day that genetics play like 100% of our health outcomes. And what pioneering research is showing is like 5% of genetics, you know, play a role in our health outcomes. And 95% of what happens to us from a disease standpoint is based upon epigenetic factors, meaning your lifestyle and your choices. So what you do in a preconceptive phase affects genetic expression. It affects, you know, how healthy the infant and the fetus can be. Mm-hmm. You can give them a more optimal code. So how chiropractic can play a role in this is through the management of stress physiology. If we kind of take any disease burden, let's take like lung cancer for an example. Any disease burden kind of has its roots in gross inflammatory processes happening in the body, which cause oxidative stress. Basically means your cells become unstable and they die, and then your body has to replace that disease cell. And that can only happen a finite amount of times in our life cycle before we go meet Jesus, right? So if we want to prevent disease, we have to get really good and intentional about managing and mitigating chronic inflammatory processes. To do that, you have to be able to understand what your stressors are, because a stress response in the body, whether it's a, you know, some scary person coming at you with like a weapon, or whether it's you scrolling social media and feeling less than from the comparison game, it doesn't matter what the stress is applied to the body. The body goes through the same order of operations like a caveman would. It's fight or flight. So Stephanie, if you were in a burning building, would your body want to devote the energy and resources to conceiving a baby at that point in time?
Absolutely not.
Probably not a high price. Like, oh, it's my last shot. It's like, no, not. when the body's in a chronic state of stress physiology, it really messes with your hormone profiles. And it messes with where blood flows. It messes with where the brain's devoting energy and resources. Mm-hmm. And a chronic fight or flight response, which, you know, let's be honest, how many of us feel like that on the day to day, right? And again, a lot of our stressors nowadays are perceived and not really life threatening. You know, it's media, social media, family, finances, the food you eat, the air you breathe, how you move, how you don't move, right? So it's a lot of cumulative effect of crap that really messes with us, right? And if we're not doing, you know, the right steps in order of operations from a proactive health manner, that cumulative effect of stress is going to offset your body's ability to handle that stress. Yeah. So if your body's constantly bombarded with, you know, stressors, then it's going to be in more of a chronic inflammatory state, which is going to precede chronic disease burden. So again, let's take smoking, for example. If I smoked one cigarette, not a great health practice. My body could adapt and recover from that stressor. Yeah. But if I smoke, you know, two packs a day, every day for 20 years, eventually that chronic stress precedes a chronic inflammatory response and cellular disease and decay. And we end up with, you know, lung cancer and emphysema and stroke and all the other fun stuff. So really we have to get much better at identifying and understanding our stressors. And so chiropractic, and is actually a cool part about being a chiropractor right now, is how much research is coming out supporting chiropractic that isn't published by chiropractors. Other medical professionals, you know, neurologists, orthopedists, talking about structure and function. So the structure and the performance of the spine and the movement and the mechanics of joints affects how information gets to the brain. And your brain needs to get information to formulate an understanding and form efficient connections, so that way it can control and effect the system. So we're with the chiropractic care and with the chiropractic adjustment, really we're just giving the brain better information to work off of, so that way it can regulate the body more effectively. It improves adaptation. And again, when we adjust or stimulate the upper cervical spine, where the head meets the neck, and when we stimulate the pelvis, those drive parasympathetic pathways, resting, digesting, healing, reproducing, chillaxed part of your nervous system. So really one of the primary roles a chiropractor is playing right now, outside of improving, you know, the structure and the function of the spine, so making sure that your parts can move and things don't decay and break down on you, is actually when we deliver the right adjustment at the right moment, at the right time, it actually helps lights up your brain in really cool ways. There's a really cool research study published by Heidi Havoc, who's a researcher out of New Zealand, that shows that an adjustment activates the prefrontal cortex by up to about 20%, which is massive.
Right.
The prefrontal cortex is the part of your brain you use for logic, reason, communication, social engagement, regulation of emotions, behavior, creativity. Like, the more evolved part of your brain, when we're all in chronic stress physiology, we use more hindbrain or primitive brain functions, where we're less logical, we're more reactive, we're more emotional. It makes you easier to manipulate and be more of a consumer. And if you have more primitive or more evolved or forefront or prefrontal cortex activity, you're more rational and logical and agreeable, and you have better social engagement. So that's what chiropractic care is really about at this moment in time in history, is a very specific adjustment at the right moment, at the right time, to elicit a very positive change in your central nervous system, so your body can manage itself, self-regulate, self-heal, self-adapt, and manage all the crappy stressors that life's thrown at us. And when you are in a state of resting, digesting, healing, your body has a much higher probability of conceiving, as well as creating a better environment for baby to grow.
That's such good information. Thank you for explaining all of that, the circle of it all. Where does nutrition tie into this, and how can our bodies better absorb our nutrition, and how does it all play together?
That is a great question. And I don't want to give, you know, anybody here the distorted perception that, you know, chiropractic is the only magical thing that you have to do. It's not. It's just it's a piece of the puzzle. It's a piece of the pie, right? You can't get adjusted 7 ways to Sunday and go poison yourself with food, right? Yeah. Food can either nourish us and give our body the basic metabolic building blocks it needs to repair, or it can do the exact opposite and cause things to break down real bad. So from a stress physiology standpoint, of taking a neurologic focus first, if your body's in a chronic fight or flight response, your brain literally tells your body to shunt blood away from the digestive system and pump it to the extremities, so that way you can prioritize movement and altercation. So you can literally move your body away from stress, or away from the stressor. But if you're in a more resting, digesting, healing state, your body's devoting energy and resources to proper digestion, absorption, excretion. How nutrition plays a role is, in my opinion, you know, the infertility crisis that we're seeing right now, you know, kind of across our country, is twofold. It's neurologic and it's metabolic. So nutrition plays a massive role. People that cannot manage their glucose levels, if they have a really awful glycemic index, like if they're kind of like pre-diabetic, insulin resistant, and sometimes you won't even, like, your blood labs won't look that bad, But if you wake up in the morning and like you use one of those pinprick things and you get your fasting glucose levels, if they're not in the right range, your body's going to have a lot harder time conceiving, because all hormones are interdependent. If one's changed, all of them change, right? So if you're constantly driving an insulin response and not eating the right things at the right time of day, you're really going to mess up your sex hormones badly. There are some super cool research in the nutrition world about how glycemic management or mismanagement is a highly causative effect of like PCOS and endometriosis, so ovarian and uterine dysfunction. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how that all comes full circle there. So stress mm-hmm. physiology, lack of blood flow to the vital organ systems that, you know, we need to prioritize for digestion, and then mismanagement of glycemic index by not eating the right foods at the right time. And also you should be eating different types of foods in relation to the different phases of your cycle too. Your body requires different things through the luteal phase and the follicular phase. So I'm not, you know, I know a lot about it, but there are other people out there that know a ton about the nutritional side of things. But when people come into our office, you know, they usually come in for various musculoskeletal complaints, like, dude, I got wicked headaches. It's like, okay, yeah, we can take care of that. So tell me about other aspects of your health. Mm-hmm. Well, my husband and I have been trying to conceive for like the last 5 years, and it's just not going very well. Tell me about your cycles. Okay. Well, we can address that in one of two ways. And so in our office, I think we're up to about 15 couples that had their infertility resolved while under chiropractic care. Now, I do not want to state, and I cannot state, that chiropractic care treats infertility, but chiropractic care and metabolic practices and nutrition and prayer and exercise ultimately make you a healthier person, which allows your body to do what it's ultimately designed to do.
Hmm. Beautifully said. That gives so much hope, I feel like, to people who may be trying drugs or other uncomfortable and stressful ways that are inhibiting it even more so going through that.
Yeah. If you guys want to really dive into like the chiropractic side of helping people with infertility, Dr. Marcia Schaefer up in Wisconsin, I think she's responsible for like over like 100 babies now through nutritional and chiropractic protocols. Our coolest story in our office is we had a female come in and, you know, 3 rounds of IVF, which I don't know if you know how expensive that stuff is. Mm-hmm. It's wildly expensive with like a 4% success rate. 3 rounds of IVF, 3 miscarriages, yes, you know, the amount of mental, emotional, physical, chemical stress that applies to the body. But we're like, hey, if you can, this is what we'd recommend. We're going to start caring for your nervous system, and on your own time, this is how you're going to manage your dietary practices. But you know, that's kind of up to you. That's your health. It's your responsibility. But she was like, she was all about it. And this is atypical. I want to preface that, because most of the people that Dr. Schaefer works with, I believe she has a either high 70 or low 80% success rate with couples that come into our office within a year's period of time of helping them conceive. But this was the fastest change I've seen in our office. 45 days under care. She comes in, high fives me. What? And she's like, naturally. Yeah. We did it. I don't know. Like, that's so cool. Like, that's not me. I didn't do it. You did it. Your body's the one responsible for it. We're just putting the foundational building blocks of health back together. And then not in, you know, a chauvinistic way, but you know, women are designed to do something super cool that men are designed to do. And so her body got back on track and did what it was designed to do.
Wow, that's an amazing story. It gives so much hope, and thank you for sharing all of that. Is there anything that women should be detoxing from? Do you ever have them go through any sort of detox before trying?
I would say that from a nutritional standpoint, I would say that falls more under the scope of practice of like a functional nurse practitioner. And we have really cool people that we partner with here in our community. I would say the detox that probably needs to happen the most would either be a nutritional one. So really kind of going through more of like an elimination diet of getting those really high inflammatory foods out of the dietary profile and getting your fasting glucose levels down to what they're supposed to be, which is a challenge. And sometimes, you know, take 3-6 months. The digestive system, the cells that line the digestive system, they turn over in somewhere between 90 and 120 day cycles. So you get new cells in your digestive system in that time frame. So if you can make some serious nutritional shifts somewhere between 3-4 and 6-8 months, mm-hmm. you have very different functions occurring within the body. I would say though, the one of the biggest detoxes that people need to do though is from a mental emotional standpoint. Because again, I said it earlier, it doesn't matter what the stressor is being applied to the body. The body goes through the same caveman-like stress response, okay, or cable. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, if I turn on the news for 3 seconds, my blood pressure goes like way up, right? Like, right. So it's an example of how visual and auditory stimulus, what we're watching, what we're listening to, self-talk has an effect on visceral function, has an effect on my heart, on my my adrenals, on my, you know, growth hormone, on my pituitary gland, right? So your thought process around this needs to change a little bit too, or at least needs proactive work, right? Just like any other health practice, you can address it proactively or reactively. So most of the time the mental game gets shifted to the reactive side of things versus proactive. And have you ever heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza?
Absolutely.
Okay, he's got a super cool book called The Nocebo Effect. Mm-hmm. Have you read that or heard of it?
I'm familiar with it. I think I have it on my Audible, but I can't say it.
You got to check it out. It's so cool. Basically, so in a study, and in like a really good study, like a double blind placebo, you know, controlled study, they'll have multiple groups of people, like they're testing a medication, and they don't tell people in the study that they might get a placebo, right? Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, it's double blind. You don't know which medication you're getting. You don't even know that there's a placebo. They're just telling you, hey, we're testing a new medication. We're going to see what happens. And so some, like the control group, takes a placebo. It does nothing to the body. And then the other group takes the medication that they're testing. Well, in this particular study, they told the group, hey, we have two groups here. One of you guys are going to get the actual medication. One of you guys are going to get a placebo. And the crazy part, and I think it was actually a mental health study, they said they were going to get them like a depression medication. And the crazy part is that the entire study became invalid because everybody thought they got the placebo, and it didn't matter if they got the pharmaceutical or not. Everybody reported a negative effect, or that the medication had no effect. So what the study illustrated is that your thought process actually affects, you know, pretty much every function in the body from a chemical level.
Yeah.
So I would say the biggest detox people need to do is mental, emotional, because man, when you're working in the preconceptive world, you know, if people have had a hard time with this, hopefully the people listening to this are addressing this in a proactive manner, and you're already in a state of health and you're just trying to build upon a really good foundation. But for people that have, are in an absence of health, or, you know, has lost it along the way, good news is the body adapts and it can heal in miraculous ways that we don't even really understand all the way. Mm-hmm. So if you can start to change your thought process, if you can start to change, you know, some of the nutritional applications, you can start to change how your body's processing stress through chiropractic care, but also through the other aspects of what we talked about. You give your body that foundation back so that way it can build towards better health.
I love it. That's an extraordinary approach on detox. I like that very much.
The mental, emotional side.
Yes. You know, something I want to touch on when I think about my journey and what surprised me along the way and what I'd like to share with others. You actually brought to me, I remember kept bringing it up to do pelvic floor therapy. And while I know it's not something you do in chiropractic care, but could you help women understand why that is so beneficial? Because I realize now it's beneficial for absolutely anyone, where I thought it was just for trauma situations.
No. Yeah. It's a, you know, it's a proactive versus reactive health model. Yeah. Like a lot of women will pursue pelvic floor physical therapy postpartum to kind of rebuild their structure after things have been challenged in a particular way. But you know, something that you can do proactively, and it's really just like working out any other muscle group in the body. This just happens to be part of your core, which we all know that core stability is foundational for the overall, you know, musculoskeletal system and supporting your structure. Pelvic floor PT will affect blood flow. It affects innervation, so neural supply, just from more of like an outside in approach versus like an inside out. So chiropractors would approach health more from like a central to peripheral, like, hey, let's get the central nervous system communicating more effectively. Where PT does a really cool thing where they approach things more from like outside in, where they're working on tissue and tone and building stability and elasticity of tissue, which ultimately drives input into the nervous system too, just more from the peripheral nervous system up. So like working out any other big muscle group, right? The more you work it, the stronger, the healthier it gets. And there's two really foundational concepts when it comes with tissue. The amount of tissue, lean tissue, that your body can maintain in the elasticity of that tissue, meaning you have to have enough tissue to perform the work that you're asking of the body. And the body has to have, the tissue has to be elastic enough to generate potential, to generate energy, to contract and relax. So think of like a rubber band that you pulled out of a junk drawer after like 5 years. That's out around like an old deck of cards or something. You like, you know, pull up the deck of cards, you take the rubber band off. It's like all gristly, right? And it's lost its elasticity. So that's a great analogy, a great example of a elastic fiber that has lost its ability to do work, right? And I mean, I am not a woman, but I hear very commonly that most women are kind of dissociated from their private area. They don't really know what it looks like or what it feels like, or they, you know, just really haven't discovered or interacted with that part of who they are. So if, you know, if we're not sure of how it's functioning, and health is all about function, not feeling, right? Like we can have all sorts of crazy things happening in our body without us being aware of it, because usually by the time symptoms manifest, we're already in an advanced state of disease.
Right.
So it's really about how functional is it? And the cool part about pelvic floor PT is it helps you to help that part of your body be more functional versus waiting
versus elasticity damage.
Yep. So it just helps with the performance of that area, stability of the pelvis, especially, you know, during pregnancy, when you have all that beautiful relaxing floating around your bloodstream that makes your ligaments super stretchy and makes them really unstable. Having more lean tissue to supply support to the structure is just going to help you be more successful.
I have found those two therapies, between the chiropractic and pelvic floor therapy, they complement each other in such an amazing way. I love it. I love those two together. But exactly like you said, the body really connects and that central nervous system there, and it makes it work so much better.
Yes. So, you know, there's other doctors like me out there, and there's other, you know, pelvic floor PTs, functional nurse practitioners, people that are really passionate, like we are, about helping couples to be successful in this endeavor. Because it really feels like, I don't know, we've lost the wisdom or the formula or the trust in our own bodies and health practices. And really just, you know, there's a lot of cool people out there like us that really just want to empower people with the knowledge and the tools to get there naturally.
So who would you advise a woman to seek in her own community? Because I know for me personally, I found my way to you after several chiropractors, and no negative things to say about them, except for they weren't trained in the right way to handle me being pregnant. And I had that where my hips were loosey goosey and everything was loosened up in pregnancy. And it was slipping out of place here, and I had so many aches and pains. And you are trained in that, and you understand how to treat women through pregnancy and babies. What should women look for in their area for a chiropractor if they're seeking this kind of care?
Great question. Well, first and foremost, I'm happy to be a resource. So if y'all are like, hey, we're in Arizona, need some help, who you got? Like, you're more than welcome to reach out to me, give me a call, shoot me a text, Facebook Messenger, email, whatever you need, just ask. The organization that trains a lot of chiropractors in perinatal care is called the International Chiropractic Pediatric Association. Really cool association, you know, hundreds to thousands of hours of continuing education to help people to better serve pregnant women. Like, so when I was going through school, just, you know, to get my doctor of chiropractic degree, DC, we had one quarter in pregnancy care. In pediatric care, like, it was, you know, it was 6 weeks of information, where this is hundreds upon you know, thousands of hours of information. So you really, just like any profession, there are avenues and specialists. Like, you wouldn't typically see, you know, a gastroenterologist for your pregnancy concerns, right? So just like in other medical professions, chiropractors can specialize in different things. Mm-hmm. So I just happened to be very passionate about this world and pursued continuing education and further certifications for perinatal care. So International Chiropractic Pediatric Association, and then there's this amazing doctor, Dr. Vincent Farrar down in Jacksonville, Florida. He went through a program through the ICA, International Chiropractic Association. It was like a 3-year program to be like really heavily focused on pediatric neurodevelopment. So there are, again, there's different avenues, different things that you can pursue to be specialists in different areas. Through the ICPA, you get a ton of exposure to perinatal care, women, babies, neurodevelopment, primitive reflexes, like things that we're trained to look at to make sure not only is the mom healing up and doing well and having potentially the best pregnancy and labor and delivery experience, but once baby's here, what do we do? And we're also trained in that side of things too, of, okay, your child isn't, you know, your child isn't sick, but how do we get the best expression and development? How do we help that beautiful little new nervous system adapt to this whole new environment that's applying stress to it? So we also, you know, can kind of care for the whole family that way and helping to guide parents in their understanding of, oh, this is where my child's at developmentally, and these are exercises and things that you can do to help their nervous system integrate the reflexes that they currently have, but that need to go away at very specific develop milestones of like 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and 12 months. So that way they can be neurotypical. That way their nervous system is working the way it's designed to. So I would say look for a doctor from the ICPA or somebody that has an advanced degree from the ICA. And if you have like a really severe structural issue, like a really bad scoliosis, Chiropractic Biophysics Institute is hands down the most well-researched chiropractic technique. There is, you know, over 200 separate publications on this specific technique and its ability to literally correct the structure of the spine. So a lot of people will go in and, you know, receive an adjustment here or there and it helps address their pain. But usually that issue comes back because you didn't actually correct the reason why it was there in the first place. So some chiropractors, you know, are in the game for pain management and they want to provide people with relief. You know, people walk in wheelchairs or rolling wheelchairs and they address a hot disc, you know, acute disc lesion with a very specific adjustment, and they feel a ton better and they go back and do their life. But if you don't restore the structure and the curvatures and help distribute force and build the structure the way it's designed to, eventually that problem most likely will come back. So there are corrective chiropractors, and then there's, you know, chiropractors that help you with really acute situations, and there's chiropractors that help you with sports medicine and different avenues that you can get into. So a CBP doctor may not be a specialist in pediatric or perinatal care, but they are hands down the most well-trained on how to structurally fix your spine. So we have been pursuing that degree and that certification at this point in time in our clinical development. And then ICPA or ICA for individuals that specialize in perinatal care.
I love that you're sharing. Every chiropractor may have a different specialty. I don't think that's very well known. You know, you think a chiropractor is a chiropractor is a chiropractor, but
TikTok isn't helping us out with that.
It's not. All right. I'm going to actually have a link here. Everyone, if you want to reach out, as Dr. Evan had mentioned, I'll have a link to his website where you can email him, his social media. And I know he's open to it if you're searching for someone or need any advice. I also want to ask you, how young is it that you can treat babies? I know you were my daughter. You adjusted her first time. She was just a couple hours old and I had no clue. Chiropractic care was for infants. Can you share how young and why and what the reason is that it's so good for them at that age?
Absolutely. And I will try and shorten this up because I am really, really passionate about this. So I can babble on for days about pediatric care. To answer the first question, We care for children as quickly as we can, as long as the parents are well educated and they understand the why, the how, the benefits. Then most parents actually voluntarily make that decision. They're like, "Hey, can we swing in on the way from the hospital and check babies?" Like, "Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, come on by. Happy to get them assessed and cared for." So obviously, you don't just, you know, adjusting an infant is wildly different than adjusting an adult, or should be. So babies, depending upon what research study you read, and again, this isn't chiropractic research. Abraham Tobin, a medical doctor, was talking about this back in the 1960s. Viola Freiman, an osteopathic doctor, I forget his first name because he's German, but his last name's Gutmann. And he's published studies on how much stress is actually applied to the infant's head and neck, their craniocervical areas, okay? And there's actually a new study on SIDS that just came out about this too. So where the head meets the neck, there's a piece of neural tissue that connects the brain to the spinal cord, and it's called the brainstem. And there's also a very specific nerve called the vagus nerve. It's a cranial nerve, cranial nerve 10. Comes through a little hole in the bottom of the skull. These two pieces of neural tissue regulate basically every organ system in the body. They connect into all your vital organ systems. So the brainstem is really the primitive powerhouse to making the babies work, to help their heart to beat and their lungs to breathe and their food to digest and their diaphragm to move. And literally all the vital organ processes happen right where the head meets the neck, right where that skull bone meets the top of the neck, where the cranium sits on the atlas. And depending upon what study you read, somewhere between 80 to 90% of all newborns have a problem at that site. Now, it's non-life threatening, so that's why it's not being addressed or talked about in a hospital setting, because it's not a life-threatening event. It can be, and when it is, thank God for that, because these kids get checked and cared for as soon as they come out and they get this problem addressed. But most of us, think of it like a dimmer switch. We've incurred this stressor, this trauma, and it's dampening and changing neurologic function. And that if that's happening in an infant at that moment in time, then it is going to affect how they are adapting to their new environment. So typically when children have really severe or even mild dysfunction in between the head and the neck there, we see, you know, posturing issues. You'll see a baby that'll throw its head back when it's upset, like high extensor tone. It'll arch really hard backwards, or you'll lay it down or put it in a car seat and its head will always drop to the left. Like it'll tilt to the left and rotate to the left. And you'll see if that is left in place, you'll see a flattening of parts of the skull as the cranium's developing, which will mess with facial symmetry and migraines and blood flow and cerebrospinal fluid circulation, development of the sinus cavities. You'll see latching issues, reflux issues, colic, constipation. Like you'll just see a system that is not performing well. Because what do babies do well? Eat, sleep.
Eat, poop, sleep.
Eat, sleep, poop. So if they're not regulating themselves appropriately in a new environment, it's a neurologic issue. The system is not communicating the way it's designed to. So the reason we are so passionate about caring for babies is we want to correct that issue at the level of the brainstem so they can start the process of getting good neural integrity so they can regulate their own bodies. And there is a new study on SIDS that came out talking about, actually I think it got play on mainstream media, which was cool because usually I don't get talked about. But they were talking about SIDS actually being a failure of the brainstem to regulate the cardiac and respiratory centers. Not so much like your baby sleeping on its stomach, which ironically, when infants are in respiratory distress in the neonatal intensive care unit, they'll put them on their stomachs because it actually increases oxygenation, perfusion, and blood flow to the brain. So kind of interesting, but
so many mixed messages.
Right. There's a ton of information and there's so much new research coming out all the time. You know, you got to kind of stay up to date on this stuff. So that's the kind of the why behind it. It improves the integrity of the brainstem, which helps the infant adapt and regulate to a new environment. And you know, we mommies bring their babies in all the time because, you know, hey, feed's great on my left breast, but man, tearing my right nipple up and like I can't stand it anymore. It's like, yeah, you know, when you start to correct the upper cervical spine, better latching, better sleep patterns, better regulation of emotion behavior, If cases of, you know, ADD, ADHD, nonverbal autism changing just through the chiropractic adjustment. We've had actually our third case of complete nonverbal. Actually, I was really scared when this family came in. Not scared. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to help them because the case was so severe. This child was just like screaming, like bloody murder. Like, I was trying to connect with them and talk to it, just like, just such hyper fight or flight that her nervous system wasn't even prioritizing social engagement. Her system was so stuck in a stress response that she was in such hyper fight or flight. She was just, you know, the only way she could communicate is just screaming. And the first adjustment happened and I looked at my team and I was like, hey, I don't like, obviously we did a very thorough evaluation, primitive reflex, you know, looking at her neurology. And hopefully you never go to an office where they're like, oh yeah, lay on the table, let's crack it. Like, no, you have to do a very thorough evaluation and figure out how things are functioning first before you try and go about correcting them. So we're very objective and analytical in our office to figure out where those problems are and how to fix them. But after about, she's been in her care for going on about 3 to 4 months now. And her parents came in the other day at her case review and they're like, dude, she is learning. She is speaking so many new words right now. I was like, that's so cool. So her language development started to advance when her stress response started to dampen and her body was able to regulate. So, and that's our third case of complete nonverbal autism that started to show progression verbally in communicating, not only with their family members, but, you know, just talking, engaging. Super cool.
That gives me chills. That's incredible. Yeah. It's really exciting. Oh my goodness. So much amazing information today. If there's anything that you were to leave with us, what would you consider is the most important thing a woman or a couple in general could do prior to conception?
Prepare, but physically, chemically, and emotionally. So it's, you know, we talk about this with all of our practice members. It's not one thing. It's many things. You know, I'm a little biased. I'm a chiropractor, but getting adjusted would be a part of that formula. Your nutrition, hydration needs to be on point, and you need to protect your mental health and your well-being and prioritize sleep patterns, exercise, and movement. If you're moving your body, praying, meditating, getting adjusted, getting good quality sleep, and nourishing your body with the basic nutritional building blocks it needs, you can expect miracles to happen. Physical, chemical, mental, emotional. Just got to address all the fronts. And the hard part is the consistency and the repetition necessary to elicit the change, because most of us are, including me, you know, like, hey man, I want results now. Like, I want it. I was supposed to be pregnant at like 5 p.m. today. So like, what are we doing here? Like, let's make that happen. Right.
You know, that's why we're talking about it, because it's commonly that, you know, you get off birth control and you're like, next month I want to get pregnant. And we want that awareness out there that there's intention behind it. There's a purpose. It's going to change. You can change the world with it if you just put that intention behind it and give yourself a couple months.
Yeah. It's a process. It takes time. It takes repetition. It doesn't happen overnight. Actually, I think that's a big disservice that we do to our moms who are pregnant already. It's like, hey, it's 39 weeks. Baby's supposed to be here in 2 days. Like, we need to schedule an induction today. It's like, statistically, if you look at that, majority of women don't do birth on their due date. And the majority of first-time moms don't carry longer than 40 weeks anyways. I know in our family, we have a different perspective on things, but our first baby went 40 and 6. Our second baby went 41 and 2 or 3. Our third baby went 41 and 6. And our fourth baby went like 40 and 4. So all of our babies have been longer than 40 weeks. So I think that's...
They were cozy.
Right? I think that's a huge disservice that we do to women. And actually, there's a huge push right now to change our definition of term labor from a 9-month process to a 10-month process. And I think, I think we'll actually see better birthing outcomes and healthier babies and healthier moms and less postpartum depression and depletion when we allow that process to happen naturally. And again, there is a moment in time where, you know, a cesarean is appropriate and is medically necessary. But Absolutely. A lot of time, you know, we're electing for these things. And now we're starting to understand the massive implication it has on the development of the microbiome, the development of the brain, and the integration of reflexes. And vaginal birth and breastfeeding are really important things to do for a developing system. It has so many layers of how it affects the body. So it's just, you know, everything's kind of a process, and it's in its own time and not in our time.
I feel like you perfectly circled back to the beginning and saying it is such an intricate and phenomenal, amazing thing that women are capable of.
It is pretty cool. Yeah. When you get to see it over and over again, you're just like, man, and it doesn't get old either. You're like, wow, that, I mean, what a strong individual. I can't do that. I would never, like, if I get a cut on my finger, I'm like, help me. Like, I'm a big baby. So I can't. It's just so cool to see that process happen and it's, you know, super thankful. And it's a cool thing that I get to do to be a part of other people's journey and help guide them in the right direction. But ultimately, you're the driver of your health. It's your body. It's your decisions that's making that happen. I'm just helping facilitate.
You truly do love what you do. Shannon told me the other day, she just loves it when there's a new baby born and you are glowing yourself all day.
It's pretty fun. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things. New babies in the office. Actually, we have like yeah. 6 or 7 moms right now that are somewhere between like 37 and 40 weeks. So I'm expecting quite a few texts this weekend to go adjust some babies. Yeah. So I'm excited about that.
Aww. Well, thank you so much for joining me here, Dr. Evan. It's been a pleasure chatting today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And hopefully this was, you know, a huge blessing, a lot of hope for people that are learning and going through this process. And again, anybody needs any assistance in anything, I'm in Middle Tennessee. We're in Mount Juliet outside of Nashville. I practice True Roots Chiropractic. So happy to be a resource for you guys. And, you know, if you're not in my area, that's cool. Give me a call, shoot me a text. I'm happy to get you plugged in to an office or a provider that you know you really vibe with and that can care for you.